Hyper Sloth Happy Hour with your hosts, Zig Zag and Rufus. Coming to you live from planet Earth, courtesy of Smoke and Hits Records and Global Corp Industries. Now, grab a beer, put your feet up, and get ready for the Hyper Sloth Happy Hour.
Boom.
Are you ready? Are you ready for the Hyper Sloth Happy Hour? That's what I'm asking tonight. That's the question for the night. Is anybody ready?
I'm ready.
You're ready. You look ready. I can see you stretching over there. Was that you shadow boxing? I think I saw you shadow boxing, getting ready for the show.
Getting amped. Amped up, brother.
I'm worried for you, dude. I think you're going to be knocked out by that shadow. It's got
a pretty stiff
uppercut, it looks like.
I'm quite frail.
Not only are you frail, you're also weak.
That's true. That's a bad combination. It's amazing I survived 41.
No one's ever said that about a championship boxer. That's just not what you hear.
He's frail and weak. What a champion.
Not only is he frail, but he's also super weak.
That's right. And he's got a terrible left curve. It's the ultimate trifecta.
He's also blind in one eye.
Yes, and has no legs.
It's like he's boxing a midget. It's like he's shadow boxing a midget.
He just rolls around on the mat, flailing his arms, and somehow wins.
He's a human cannonball, or a bowling ball.
Yeah. He's like a big
No one can ever get any leverage on him to pin him.
Well, no, because he's rolling around like a cannonball with,
right.
You know, arms.
Wasn't that, didn't some kid do that in that movie Hook? Wasn't there like a little Mexican kid or something in that movie Hook who like rolled like a cannonball or something?
I don't know. Mexicans are known
maybe
to do
I'm
that
just
on occasion.
High, because I am high, but for some reason I remember that.
I can't see you. Is your video on? I can never see you these days.
Yeah, I can see me. I can see me crystal clearly. And
I
I'm
can
not
see
if
me.
I push the video thing, usually then it blacks me out.
Wow.
Yeah, it's on. If I push it, if I push the video thing, it's going to stop video. So you haven't seen me in a few weeks, dude, but I've got a great view of you.
I know, I feel
you're
really self-conscious.
Tough.
I feel like
you're
I'm in a dressing
strong.
Room and there's a two-way mirror.
There is. You should see, when you don't even know that I'm watching, it's even more creepy what you do in that room. I'd like to say to the listeners, if you go to Rufus's house, don't sit in his chair. Without putting something down. I'm sure it's covered in man sweat.
And don't touch the ceiling directly above my computer station.
Right.
Because it's covered in DNA.
I think it's safe to say if you're touching someone else's mouse and or we had this invention a long time ago. Remember, just like a plastic bag that goes over your keyboard and your mouse to keep biologicals off.
Biologicals, yes.
Hey, I watch all those shows with biologicals. I watch 48 Hours.
But apparently the cell phone is the most disgusting device human beings have because it goes in the bathroom, it's covered in fecal matter, PP matter, whatever you touch throughout the day. Your cell phone is the most disgusting fucking thing you own, basically, I've heard.
And yet, they taste so good. They just taste so damn good.
I store my cell phone in my mouth. I do.
Yeah, and why not?
But only when my
this
ass
is, what I do.
Is full.
I let my dog lick my cell phone clean, and then I just assume that it's clean because a dog's mouth is cleaner than everybody else's mouth in the world, so old wives' tales have it.
Yeah. Hey, let me ask you this. You're a dog lover, as am I. Not in a weird way. I mean, we just love dogs.
Right. Always wear protection.
Do you let dogs, like, lick you in the mouth?
No. No, I do not.
God bless you. Thank you.
I would. But, I mean, I see my wiener in there. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that it's probably cleaner than my weenus. Another dog song, maybe.
I hope your weenus doesn't get heartworms.
Yeah, I got a vaccination. I'm good. You know what? That's the weird deal, dude. You didn't know this, but when you see a guy with a cock ring on, it's actually like a flea ring for it's like a vaccination thing.
It's like a flea collar, a medicated flea collar. Jesus Christ.
You didn't know
what
that? Oh, I thought you
could help with crabs.
No, I do not let a dog, you know, and I'm going to tell you why, Rufus. For the longest time, dude, I was, after seeing the dead umpteen times or whatever, and seeing people on acid and whatnot, right? Like, people tripping on acid. And I've talked about my acid trips on the show before. There was not very many of them. I was, I'm like so afraid, dude, that I'm going to lick something or a dog would lick something. And I'm not saying it's necessarily LSD and it would just make me trip out. Right? Because think about it. Yeah, LSD makes you trip, but I mean, so does probably licking a lot of weird things would make you feel weird in your psyche. You know, does that make sense?
Right.
It doesn't have to be LSD.
I mean, tripping aside, I mean, a dog licks their fucking asshole and they eat all kinds of fucking shit they found on the ground.
Right.
I mean,
well, you know,
just every time I see a show on, like, Animal Network where somebody's like, oh, yeah, I love my dog, and they're just, like, basically tongue-kissing their fucking dog, I'm like, good God.
Right.
He should be removed from society.
You know why? Because my dog, I would never let my dog do it because, first of all, my dogs would eat, like, deer shit and, like, stuff they would find in the woods, raccoon shit. And, like, raccoon shit is, like, the worst thing you can do because there's a certain type of roundworm that grows in raccoon shit that is easily spread to humans. And what it does is it will infect your lungs and shit and then get it into your, like, spinal cord in your brain and shit. Yeah.
Like the
so remember that next time you're
me.
Eating some, yes, it's exactly what it is. Except they're small monsters.
Well, like, our little dog, Zip, and he's not little. I mean, he's a puppy, but he's, like, 50 fucking pounds. He'll just be chilling out, laying down. Yeah, he'll be laying down on the grass, and then he'll just, on a whim, he'll go, like, into the horse pen and grab a single gigantic apple-sized horse turd and bring it out and just lay down and start munching on it like it's a candy bar.
Right.
And I'm like, no, you're not going to give me big old sloppy kisses.
He knows, too, that eventually those horses will be dog food. So he's like, this is just kind of give him a sample of what the inside of a horse might taste like.
He hopes. That's his dream. That's his ultimate dream.
Yes. He's like, I knew that horse. I always knew it would taste like this.
That idiot dog, he just goes out there and just, he plants his feet in the ground and just barks at those horses like a fucking madman. He just barks at them. Like, he's reaming them out for doing a bad job, just barking the shit out of them. And they don't give a fuck. They don't care at all. But
pulling a fucking cart or a plow or something, standing around is for fucking dogs, not for horses.
Exactly. He's trying to make a point. I don't know what it is.
But you know what? Have you been following this thing with Donald Trump? I don't want to get all political this early in the show, but I'm going to anyways, because it's a pre-Friday Thursday show.
What post Wednesday,
so we didn't really have anything to talk about it yesterday.
is there a specific thing or just the whole Donald Trump thing in general?
No, where he said the whole Muslim thing, where he said, you know, we should close our doors to Muslims or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, the deal is that's fucking gold for him to say that, because I think that he's saying what everybody wants to hear, but nobody will fucking say. Does that make sense? People's like, I don't agree with that. And under their fucking breath, you're like, I totally fucking agree with that. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I'm not.
I think so.
I don't hate Muslims or whatever, but if they're going to bring angry Muslims over here, I'm not really that for it. I mean, how do you vet a fucking stranger from another country? I mean, I don't know what you do.
I don't know either. I think there's two people that that pleases. Obviously, his, you know, Republican base or whatever. And then, yeah, you're right. The people that are, I think people are naturally kind of wary about the whole Muslim thing. And I don't think you can blame them for that. I mean, given everything that's going on, I'm not saying that all Muslims are fucking crazed animals, but come on, you know, the great majority of bad bullshit happening in the world is Muslims. So, I mean, you can't blame somebody for honestly being like, well, I'm a little apprehensive.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, I can see how that can kind of ring true, but I can also see how it seems inflammatory or whatever.
I mean, it's no different than trying to keep Ebola out. You know what I mean? Does that make sense? I know it sounds weird, but we didn't want Ebola here. We surely don't want people coming here to fucking kill us either, or do we?
Right. No, no, of course not. Of course. I mean, the big difference is, you know, there's 2 billion Muslims in the world, but it's only a tiny fraction causing problems. But if that tiny fraction is causing problems based on what the 2 billion believe, then, you know, what's going to flip the switch to make these 2 billion be like, all right, let's fuck all this shit up? You know, I think that's
something like what Trump said right there. You know what I mean? It kind of, in a weird way, could easily unify them all to be like, yeah, we fucking hate America. He doesn't want us there. You know, but it's no different than they don't want us where we're at either.
You know what's interesting is I've heard that one of the motivations of ISIS isn't just to, you know, fuck the infidels or whatever. It's to get everyone who hate Muslims so that they generate an us versus them mentality. And so that even
right.
the Muslims who are peaceful are kind of pushed back in a corner and they have to fight back. So that's strategically fucking genius.
Yeah,
ISIS
is very,
trying to pull that off.
It's totally that, and that's what it's working on Trump. I mean, he thinks he's so smart, but it's like ISIS has Trump exactly saying exactly what they wanted him to say.
Right.
Right? We hate Muslims. Okay, now it's official. We can fucking declare jihad in America because Donald Trump said he hates fucking Muslims.
Right. But at the same time, I read today, in fact, that all these major Muslim organizations, like, came together. I don't remember the names. I literally just saw this a few minutes ago. These huge, like, very influential, like, clerics and leaders in the UN and, like, some big Muslim guys came together and decreed, like, basically like a Magna Carta thing and said that terrorism is not the Muslim way and we're going to do everything we can to fucking stamp it out. And I think that it's about fucking time, you know, because that's what's been lacking is, like, the Muslims who are like, no, we're not terrorists. They're not really doing anything. They're not stopping it. You know, I think it's about time some Muslims step up and be like, no, this is fucking bullshit. You know,
you know what?
What
you're right.
Islam is about.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. Okay. The bad apples, you gotta weed out your own bad apples in a weird way. If you don't want to be considered part of that, it's kind of your responsibility to get rid of that inside of yourself.
Amen. No, you're absolutely right. You fucking nailed it. Yeah, you said it more succinctly than I did. It's
well,
your
yeah, but you came up with a great idea.
Oh, no, you're right. If the bad apples are in your fucking barrel, then it's up to you to fucking get them out, you know? Yep. Look at us. We're geniuses.
We are geniuses. I mean, give us
we're
going to Nancy Grace. That stupid pig.
God, she's such an idiot. Does she do anything politically now, or is it all about kidnapped white children? She just goes on
around. I have no idea. I have no stomach for her because she is the epitome of, I don't know, she gets people wound up for no reason, and it's like she's always on the wrong side. Does that make sense? I could honestly say I've never seen her where I'm like, you know what, maybe Nancy Grace is right about this. I'm always like, God, she's a fucking idiot.
I don't even know what she's about. It seems like every time I see her show, and I make a point not to, but sometimes I see it, she's just talking about some story in some Midwestern town where a girl was kidnapped and was murdered and now it's going to trial. I never really see her talking about big picture things. But still, she always just seems like a rabid fucking animal that I just kind of want to stomp on and, you know, get out of the way.
She always is constantly talking over people, too, which I can't stand. If you're, like, on, like, her format's kind of like what we're doing right here, where I can see you and you can see me. And, you know, they're never in the same room with her, probably because she can't be trusted to be in the room with someone. But so she'll, like, ask someone their opinion, and when they're giving it, like, cut them off, like, 50 fucking times, right?
Right.
And the only way to even get to interject anything is to cut her off. And she's always like, well, I'm not done talking yet. You know what I mean? That's how she, like, stomps over people.
And this is news.
Right, yeah.
In the modern world.
Yeah. Air quotes, news. That's news.
Yeah.
Been watching any porn lately, Rufus?
No more than usual. So, you know,
right.
It takes me about 20 minutes to browse and then about 10 seconds to be done.
So, yeah. Right. I mean, yeah, it's not real life, which makes it, you know, it's way better than the real thing, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah. In real life, like 5 seconds. But when I'm home alone, I stretch it out.
Well, you enjoy yourself a little bit. You romance yourself. Light a few candles.
Hey.
Put on some soft music.
I'm not easy. I do.
You're not right. You do deserve it. You know what? If you don't pamper yourself, no one will. That's the truth, ain't it?
That's right.
What kind of dude would know, like, another... First of all, is there, like, porn stars anymore? Is everybody a quote-unquote amateur porn person?
I think there are, but it's way harder to be one. You know, it's hard to achieve that level because anybody can do it, you know? Like, I know one,
right.
And she's gone to the awards and stuff, and I think she's won an award, but it's not like... She doesn't make a living out of it. She makes some good money when she does it, but it's not like, you know, she's living in a fucking Bel Air mansion.
What kind of a dude would know, like, another dude's porn star name? Would you ever admit that? Okay, everybody knows Peter North, obviously, is like a dude's porn star name. But, I mean, is there another dude who you, like, anybody knows his name? I mean, would you admit it if you did, first of all? You're like, I'm a huge fan of Dick Steele's body of work. It's just, he's just brilliant.
Big deal. Honestly, dude, except for Peter North and, of course, Ron Jeremy.
There you go. True.
No, absolutely not. I think the only realm where a guy's name would be known would be in, you know, obviously gay porn.
Right. And who are the big stars in that right now, Rufus? Can you think of any that you know off the top of your head?
Shafty McSphincter. He's a good one.
Right. Yeah.
Bull Moose, quote unquote, Wrigley Sack McBall Hair. I don't know. I have no idea.
What would your porn name be? Do you have an idea for a porn name? I mean, everybody's kind of got an idea of their porn name, right?
I used to. I forgot it, though. Damn, I forgot it. It was powerful, though. I mean, if you would buy a DVD just based on the name. You would.
I don't know if I've mentioned this on the show before, but my porn name would be Wadzilla. Did I tell you that before?
Wow. No, you did. You have not.
Tell me
very
how powerful
good.
That is. That's a fucking powerful sounding name, is it not?
It is.
Dude,
the
intro to all my porns would be Blue Oyster Cult's Godzilla, but it would be like, whoa, Wadzilla. You know what I'm talking? You know their song, Godzilla?
Yes, I did. Would you be blasting Chinese city or Japanese cities with your
oh, dude. Let's not say Japanese cities. Let's say young Japanese schoolgirls, obviously.
Of course. Well, wait,
I would be destroying Japanese schoolgirls.
At Roehampton, your porn name was going to be a Diddler Bean, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, that's right. I think it was. No, that was going to be my other band name. Was either going to be Buster Cherry or Diddler Bean.
Buster Cherry, Diddler Bean. That's right. I remember that. Remember almost falling backwards over the couch laughing when you said that.
So we always got our side projects, right? I mean, it's okay to have a side project.
Oh, no. My poor name
so
was...
Crazy?
Wait. My poor name was Rumpel Foreskin. That's what it was.
Rumpel Foreskin. I love it. Sounds like you're going to be doing a lot of grannies. Sounds like a granny porn name, though.
Well, the whole stick is that I'm asleep the whole time.
Oh, I thought that was Rip Van Foreskin.
Oh, that's right. Damn. You got me. No, that's what it is. That's what it is. Whenever I do the money shot, it's silk turned into gold all over some chick's face.
Oh, really? Nice. I like that. I'm sure there's probably some... I'm sure there's some kind of fruit you can eat that will make your jizz gold when you spray.
Yeah, it's deep in the Central American jungles.
I'm sure that Donald Trump has some.
Rumpel Foreskin, Jesus.
Did you see that they've come out with a settlement on the birthday, happy birthday copyright infringement case that's been going on in the courts for a few years?
No. What?
Yeah, Warner Brothers Music actually owns the rights to the song Happy Birthday, and they've gotten a settlement now, and they're deciding that they're going to send every person in the world a bill for like $25 for like 10 cents every time you've sang Happy Birthday in your lifetime.
That's fucking retarded. Is that for real? Shut up. You're fucking with me.
You know what? That part of it for real. I'm not surprised that they would do that, though they probably would. But it is true that they owned, quote-unquote, the rights to the song Happy Birthday. Apparently the song was written in, like, 1897 by a school teacher. And it actually wasn't Happy Birthday, though. It was, like, Good Morning Class or some shit like that. But over time, it kind of got into Happy Birthday, and she left her rights to some family member of hers that sold it to Warner Brothers Music.
Wow.
And I learned all that from reading the headline.
It's, you know, it's weird to think that a song like that even has a writer. You just almost think that those are like genetically programmed because they've always been around.
So
I mean, you're just almost born kind of knowing that melody.
You know, why don't we start a business that just writes nothing but songs like that? I mean, someone needs to write a death song. You know, why is there no death song?
Yeah, exactly. And an upbeat death song.
Or, okay, how about a happy retirement song?
A happy retirement?
Or a happy...
every occasion.
Right. You know what we'll do? We'll just we'll write them all to Happy Birthday's music.
We will. So it'll be Happy
Birthday. No, because
that's
actually the only part you have to pay for. So again, another fiscally responsible move by Hypersloth.
Well, we could do what Vanilla Ice did. We'll just change one note in Happy Birthday, and then it's completely original. We can't be sued.
Did he did get sued. Did he settle out of court or something, though, didn't he?
I don't remember. But I remember he was, sued for stealing the bass line Pressure by Bowie and the Queen guy, whatever. And his defense was like, no, it goes, you know, it's like a one-note difference.
Right.
And they were like, no, you... fucking stole it.
I wonder if you could write a song. You know how, like, you can buy those Casio keyboards or whatever, and they come pre-programmed with, like, 8 trillion songs on them. I wonder if you wrote a song using one of those tunes that they could come after you. You know what I mean? And you could say, no,
yeah,
I'm sorry, it just was on your thing, and I used it. I mean, you know, it's kind of like, is there an implied... consent to use that when they give it away to you when you buy, you know, you're actually buying the keyboard? Are you buying the rights to use that tune as well?
I don't know. That's a good question, especially with the hardware like that. And from back in the day, like, you bought a Casio keyboard in the 80s, they probably had no idea that anybody would use those pre-programmed things for an actual song. But I know these days that whenever you download, like a quote-unquote free track, or even like if you buy software, recording software like I have that comes with a bunch of like backing
right.
tracks, you don't have the rights to use those for sales. I mean, you can use them to like record your own shit, but the moment you put it up on iTunes, you've got to pay them some money if, you know, they know about it, basically.
What if you changed one a note?
Then you're free and clear.
What if we made a song and we changed one note, and then we went after someone, and we're like, you're kind of ripping off our song.
We should do that with Creedence Clearwater's entire catalog. We'll just change one note and one word and just put out the entire thing.
Sue them. I actually like that guy. We need to find someone that we don't like to sue.
Well, I don't care if I like him or not. I just want somebody who's rich that we can sue.
Well, you probably would meet him. I was thinking earlier, if you ever wanted to get on stage or, like, meet someone famous, what I would do personally, and I don't know, maybe someone's done this before, was act like my daughter was lost at a concert, right? But have her right by me and tell her, look, you got to act like you don't know me and you're lost, right? And then, like, walk around and go, hey, does anybody know who this little girl is? She's lost. And, you know, eventually they have to ask over the loudspeaker, you know, hey, does anybody know who this little kid is? And maybe I would get to meet someone famous that way.
That's not a bad strategy. That's not a bad strategy at all. Very good.
Thank you. Thank you. So if I, of course, it's probably easier if you're a woman, because a lot of people might be creeped out if I was like, no, I will not leave this little girl's side to leave her with someone, but I don't know who she is.
That's true. If you were a woman with Down syndrome and you had a child who was a dwarf, then you're gold. You would get on stage.
People would just trust me.
Yeah.
As they should, because I'm a dwarf, obviously, and dwarfs are people that have TV shows, and people on TV can be trusted. I mean, it just makes sense.
Do you know who I am? Do you know who I am?
Whatever happened to that? Did like society bottom out with that Honey Boo Boo show? Because I know that they're not anymore because she got back together with her child molesting ex-husband or something, but they haven't. I know they haven't replaced that show with like someone more idiotic or disgusting. Or was that just like a bottom?
I'm thinking that was a bottom, and you know, thank God for it. But there's a new show that has something to do with like marriage counseling. You know, quote unquote, a reality show, celebrity marriage counseling or whatever, and they're on it. And it's, I don't know if it's aired yet. I've been seeing the previews. Yeah.
You can't even get rid of them. They'll find something like cockroaches.
Celebrity stars or celebrity reality TV shows are like cockroaches. You're right. They just,
I mean, it's like the people on the shows, I don't know who is more confused, the people on the shows or the people that are their fans. You know, because can you live your life like that and be like, I'm a celebrity for being a fucking stupid ass?
Yeah, I think you can. I think the people that do that and the people that enjoy it are just so beneath the level of comprehension that you and I, they are like cockroaches to people like us. I mean, we're giants compared to the mentality that participates and enjoys that.
You know what's weird? You ever see these pictures where people are like, they just, obviously they see someone famous and want their picture taken with them.
Right.
I saw a picture of a guy now who's a black guy, and he had his picture taken with Phil Robertson. And it was just like something so unholy about the picture, because didn't Phil Robertson say like a bunch of awful stuff about black people? And this guy's like, still I have my picture taken with him because he's famous.
I don't know what Phil Robertson said about black people specifically, but he is super, super mega religious, and he said a lot of anti-gay shit.
Oh, maybe that was.
Maybe made a fool out of himself in that way.
I guess I just assume since he doesn't like gay people, he doesn't like black people or anybody that's different than him. I probably would say that's safe to assume, because I also heard that he hates people with beards, without beards.
So, yeah, the beardless, they're infidels.
Right, they are. I love that. Infidel is like it's a pretty classy word in a weird way, if you think about it. I'm not sure what it means, but it's intriguing. Do you have any idea what the official, explanation of infidel is?
Well, I think it's more of a Muslim term, but it's, and I think, I don't know, I'm not an expert on this.
American
douchebag? It's like a Gentile is a non-Jew, right? I think an infidel is just a non-Muslim. But, of course, you know, certain factions take it to the extreme.
And those factions would be?
ISIS and Al-Qaeda, I guess.
You know what? I'm so confused by ISIS and Al-Qaeda or whatever that I just am going to go ahead and lump all Muslims together. And that's just, in my brain, I'm just like, you know what? It's just easier that way. Okay, they're the infidels now. I'm not an infidel. They are officially the infidels, in my personal opinion.
Hey, my motto is better safe than sorry. I'd rather hate them all than try to learn which ones I should hate, I guess.
It's the whole idea that, you know, it's even gotten to this point where, because I actually am friendly to the guys that work at the gas station near my house, as I've always been with all, like, and I don't want to say it, but Indian guys are usually the guys that, I don't know, I seem to frequent their gas stations, I guess, because it seems like all the ones I go to, it's like a couple Indian guys, and I'm always totally friendly to the Indian guys, and they, like, always learn my name, and I always learn their name or whatever, and I'm just like, man, I hope if he decides to fucking take a bunch of people out, he's like, hey, that dude was always cool to me, you know what I mean? Why would I want to take him out? He didn't do anything.
But are Indian guys, I don't think Indian guys are Muslim, right? They're like, they're more like Sikh or whatever you call that. They're more like, not Buddhist, but, you know, Siddhartha type guys. Are Indians Muslim?
I don't know. I had to assume so, because it just seems like every time that someone gets killed, they always hate on the guys down at the corner gas station for some reason.
Well, that's because they're brown.
It's right. That's what I'm saying. So, of course, I had to go with what popular opinion says, and that's to not like them. But I actually like them. The one guy's named Rick, and the other guy named Jesse. Jesse just came here like 2 years ago, and he's not as pleasant as Rick, but he tries occasionally. But he also doesn't speak very good English, so I think maybe after he learns better English, he'll probably be a little funnier and a little more entertaining. And
do they have,
maybe understand when I give him a lottery ticket to check that I don't want it thrown away. I actually want him to check it first.
Here's my test for if you're dealing with a militant Islamist. Do they have, these guys you're talking about, do they have beards with no mustache, and their beards don't look like real beards, but like they just sort
like
of
super long.
Elmer glued their own fucking pubic hair under their face. Like, they can't really grow a beard, but they're trying really hard to please Allah.
Now, see, what's weird is now I'm confused because you just described my brother-in-law who's Jewish. So now I don't know what to do. Now I'm really confused. I think my brain is short-circuited. No, these guys are clean-shaven. They're, like, trying to hook up with American chicks and, like, the whole nine yards.
No. Those guys are not the problem. If they're clean-shaven and hooking up with the American chick, no, they're not. It's the guys who have beards that look like they can't really grow a beard, but they're trying really hard.
And maybe they glue
their own pubes to their face.
I'm going to say, though, at some gas stations that I've been to, there have been, like, those kind of guys behind the counter. I mean, but the ones that I'm usually friendly to and are friendly back, let's just say, are the ones without the beards, just like you're saying.
Okay, those are the good guys.
They're just happy. The angry ones are happy to sell me beer and cigarettes, hoping that I just eventually die because I'm an infidel.
Hey, the slow, patient jihad is okay. If you just want to intoxicate me until I die, I'll take that. Just don't blow me up out of nowhere. Just be like,
another form of
I'll sell the white people booze and cigarettes, and eventually that'll take care of them. I'm cool with that. That's fine.
Right. Yeah, there
and
you go.
Food.
Yeah, you don't have to break out a gun. You know that we're obese anyways. I mean, just keep the fucking salty snacks coming. I mean, everybody's happy about that.
Right, and it's not like they're going to eat the bacon because they don't eat pigs. So your jihad should just be feed the white people the bacon because that'll get them eventually.
Yeah.
And I'm cool with that.
So are these guys, apparently. I guess in the longer scheme of things, you don't have to have a beard. Because it doesn't have to happen right away. So they're like, yeah, don't worry about the beards. They're, you know, you'd have a beard down to the floor if you played that kind of jihad game. And, I mean, there's a point in your beard, though, where it stops growing, or is there?
I don't know. Well, I guess. I mean, ZZ Top's been growing their beard forever, and it's kind of reached
But it's never reached the floor, right?
No.
I mean, did it trim it, or do you think at one point it's just like, sorry, this is as long as fucking beard hair gets. We can't get any longer without falling out. first.
Might be. I'd like to grow my beard so long that I can braid it into my ball hair and, like, have a whole
unit.
What?
That would be awesome, dude. You could, like, imagine the crabs could just do, like, a circular thing from your head hair down to your, like, a suspension bridge for crabs.
It'd be like the crabs are playing Donkey Kong. They're just coming up the big ape at top.
Now, was that when we were talking about having crabs on the show? Did we talk about that?
It came up earlier in this show.
No, I mean, have you ever had crabs?
No, of course not. Oh, wait,
I've had crabs. I have had crabs. And I'm going to tell you, it's not an exciting story how I fucking got crabs either. I can tell you that for a fact. I got crabs I slept in a hotel room at the Golden Nugget when I went to see the Dead in Vegas in 1990. I got fucking crabs.
Well, how does that work? So it was in the sheets?
Yeah. Obviously, it was on the bed already, dude, and we're driving back from Vegas, and I'm like, what the fuck is going on? My fucking nutsack is on fire, right? I mean, on fire. I'm like, what the fuck? I mean, I've never had jock itch or anything like that. I'm like fucking, you know, it's an 18-hour drive. I'm fucking squirming and trying to drive at the same time and shit. I'm like, what in the fuck is going on? And we pull over into, like, the world's grossest stop and go or whatever. And I'm like, I got to go in the fucking bathroom and see what the fuck's going on. So we go in the bathroom. Well, we didn't. I went in the bathroom by myself. And I'm fucking sitting in the stall. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on with my nutsack? And I, like, feel like what feels like a piece of rice or something. And I pull it off and look at it. And it's a fucking crab, dude. I about fucking freaked out. I mean, I nearly lost my fucking mind for like a second. I had vertigo, right? I'm like, what? The world was like, wow, and I'm standing in the world's most disgusting stall at a fucking truck stop.
Oh, and, that's a scene for the movie. Dude.
And so, I get back in the car, whatever, and I'm thinking all of us have slept in the same hotel room, right? Everybody I was in this car with, surely I'm not the only one to get crabs, but I did not say anything. I didn't ask anybody else if they had fucking crabs in the car. And I did proceed to give two crabs to two girls when I got back to Austin. So, sorry, girls. I couldn't get rid of them, Rufus. It was the hardest thing in the world to fucking get rid of. So this is a crazy story. I went to visit my cousins. I had crabs for like 3 months, I swear to God, maybe even fucking longer. And I tried everything, dude. It's in your pubic hair. It's like fucking impossible to get out. I swear to God. So
shave.
I've got crabs, and I've tried it all, dude. I've tried every fucking rinse, every spray, you know, everything like that. And I go to visit my cousins in California, right? And I sit in their hot tub, and fucking sure as shit, after I got back from that trip, I did not have fucking crabs. True
but
story.
Everybody else in the hot tub did.
I don't know. Not my problem. Not my problem.
So what do they look like? What's the deal? What do they look like?
This is the crazy part. This is the only reason I knew that they were crabs, because they, honest to God, look like little fucking, like, flesh-colored crabs. Like a
really?
Crab. Like, little legs, and they're, like, hustling along. I don't even want to say this, but after they were gone, I kind of missed them. I'm like, where? Wonder what those guys are up to now.
You should have named them.
I should have, Mr. Krabs.
No, like when you say you had them, like how many? Like when you look down on any given day, because you had them for 3 fucking months. Like how many would you see? Like 10, 2,
it's
3.
It's not like you couldn't, like, I wouldn't look down. I mean, occasionally you would catch one like walking across your arm or something, but I never saw like more than one or two at a time, you know.
Oh,
but if you were
Lord.
Digging for them, dude, you could pull them off your fucking nutsack. And I'm a clean person. I shower every day, so it's not like I went fucking months without showering or something. But I literally got them from staying at the Golden Nugget. It was either the Golden Nugget or the Hacienda. It was one of the two because we stayed at two places. I'm guessing the Hacienda because it was way grosser.
Did they, when you picked them up, did they squeak or squeal or anything, or like writhe around?
No, dude.
How big are they?
I'll tell you what. If you get enough of them together and steam them, with a little fucking lemon juice and some drawn butter, you're having a pretty good fucking crab meal, crab dinner, that's for sure.
Dude, I bet that would taste pretty good with some soy sauce, too.
Oh, yeah, a little wasabi. So, yeah, and you know what? Like I said, I apologize to the girls for giving them crabs, but that's what I found is the easiest way. If you want a chick to, like, look sexy and get her to shave her bush, you give her crabs first, and the bush usually comes off pretty quickly.
What if you just want her to have crabs because you enjoy that sensation?
Well,
when things are
happening. You know, since I hung out with a lot of people that like to see the Grateful Dead, there was plenty of hair to grow any kind of crab, to meet any kind of crab need. That's
for
sure.
Oh, my God. No kidding. I bet.
Listen to you. I bet, he says. Send your hate mail to Rufus. Don't send it to me. I'm a lover of all women.
Well, yeah, but, you know, come on. The Grateful Dead women, they got to have, you know, the bushes the size of a fucking topiary full of crabs.
Do they, Rufus? Are you? It seems to me like you're being a little bit presumptuous on the bush status of people that listen to jam bands.
Well, I am. I'll admit that I am. But I think it's an educated guess.
Well, dude, you know what? If anything, it's just because they're trying to save on razors and whatnot. They're cutting down on the landfill problem by not using as many razor blades.
God bless them. That's good.
We need to figure out a way to make a better razor blade. What is the better razor? That's what we need to dedicate the next 5 years of our life to.
That's the problem with the razor blade market is you can't make it. They should have stopped at two blades. It doesn't get better than that.
I mean the one blade. Like the blade that never goes dull or something. Or like the laser. We should call it the laser blade, and it'll be a small laser that goes between two things, and you, like, shave with it.
Dude, I swear to God,
we've talked about that before.
I swear to God, that's been on the show, where we talk about the laser blade. I know it has.
I hope so, because we need to remember this show, because if not, we have just coined the phrase laser blade. For all I know, right at this moment, I'm sure if I Googled it, there's two other idiots out there that already own the fucking name.
No, I think
but they're not nearly as handsome as we are.
I think we coined it months ago. Actually, I think you coined it. I think you came up with it. I swear to God, I remember this like it was
yesterday.
Did I?
Because that sounds like a good one. I think
really
I would have remembered that one.
Well, dude, is the amount of ideas that we come up with, you know, it's logical that we're going to forget a few. But I swear to God, this is the checks and balances that happen with, you know, you and me. You come up with an idea, then you forget about it, and I'm like, no, you already came up with that idea. Patent it now. You came up with that idea months ago.
Wish I could figure out how it works. Again, once again, we're left one man short on the idea from idea to completion stage.
Yes.
One more piece of the play. If you know what, we should have a tryout. We should fucking have a tryout. Be the third person in Hypersloth. Complete the trilogy. Audition to fucking be the third person in Hypersloth. And
what's
get a
the audition? They would have to actually take one of our ideas and make it happen. I think that's
right. And I think what we do is we get a bunch of contestants together and we give them each an idea to bring to completion, okay?
Yep.
And then we choose, you know, which one did the best job of bringing it to completion. But what we really do is we don't hire any of them. We just have all of our ideas finished and go, you know what? You just don't think you're going to be a good fit. You just don't feel like a good fit.
That's right, because at that point, they've already signed all the documents that says that they have no rights to anything.
Because all the ideas are completed. And every year, every time we'll get like 10 ideas together, we'll have another competition, sort of like The Voice.
Nice. Except the only people that win are us.
Right, well, what's wrong with that? Someone's got to win, Rufus. Someone has to, like, win-win. There can be people that win, but we need to be the real winners.
I only want to win. Hypersloth needs to win.
I used to think of myself as a heterosexual bottom. I'm starting to think of myself as a heterosexual top right now.
I don't think I'm a heterosexual side. Like when two dudes are having sex, I just want to kind of squeeze in.
Do you? I think that's a homosexual side then.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Did I say two dudes? I meant a dude and a horse.
You know what? Which we still can't find. Or you know what? Maybe I don't know where to look. You think you need to go to the dark web to find any kind of bestiality porn? I'm assuming that you should be able to get it pretty easily, but maybe I'm not looking in the right place.
Yeah. I've been to the dark web. It's a creepy place, but I didn't look for anything like that.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm sure I didn't look for somebody fucking a horse.
Dude, you know what? Speaking of being socially connected,
yeah.
I'd like to say we're almost socially disconnected. Because I was watching some amateur porn the other day, and the chick didn't even put her phone down. There was like a threesome, and one of the chicks was like texting the whole time. And
are
I'm like,
serious?
I was having trouble getting into it. I'm like, don't you see what's going on right there? He's like having sex with her. You should be wanting to join. You know, but
that's
it's like even when she was getting plowed, she was texting.
That's insulting to the audience. You know, I mean, come on. If you
it
get
is.
A, porn should be about
who's
the audience. The people perceiving it. Somebody should be into the moment and looking directly
right.
Eyes into the camera. Yeah, I mean, come on, she should be fired immediately.
Well, I mean, you know what? I understand it's amateur porn, but there has to be standards. You know, it can't be that amateur that someone's just talking on their phone the whole time. I mean,
well,
watch
maybe
some
she was,
professional porn
maybe she
and
was,
take a cue.
Maybe she was looking up on Google, like, what to do. Like, I do
probably,
for 90% of my job.
I'm sure she was probably watching them have sex on the screen. You know what I mean? She was live streaming their sex and watching it. So, you know what I'm saying? But she was like right there. Instead of looking over, she would rather watch it on her phone.
Disgusting. That's not a professional. That's not what I want.
You know, it was, the weirdest part was when he fucking jizzed, she had him spray the phone, which I thought was not only was I insulted that he didn't put it on her face, but I was more insulted that he could have ruined the phone.
Was there at least a picture of her on the phone?
It was a picture of Trump, I think. I think it was Trump's face.
That's awesome.
He gave a big old jizz shout out to Donald Trump.
Well, hopefully she had a good high-quality screen protector on that phone.
Yeah, you know what? I bet there's a guy that could never get rid of crabs. Donald Trump. I think if he got crabs, dude, that's probably how the ISIS will attack the Donald. They'll just give him crabs on his head and it'll eventually drive him bonkers.
I don't know, man. I think even his balls have a comb over.
Oh, I have to assume that he's so fucking hip that he's probably manscaped completely.
He has Ivanka do it.
He has a Trump sign over the proverbial Trump Tower, as he likes to call his small weenus.
I think that was that's right. If you get the DVD set of The Apprentice, then there's the Celebrity Apprentice. There's all these celebrities trying to manscape his nutsack.
They made the losers. The losers, when you saw them drive away in the car, everyone was always so sad because they were going to have to go fucking manscape the Donald's asshole.
That's right. There's this one scene where the Donald's all up in stirrups and Danny Bonaduce has a fucking weed eater and he's going after
him. He was the only one that was excited to get fired. He actually got fired on purpose. Him and Al Roker.
That's right. Well, Al Roker...
I actually like both those guys, so I feel guilty knowing that they enjoyed landscaping Donald.
Well, it was a team effort. It was a team effort. Al Roker they held up the sausage, and Danny Bonaduce just weed-whacked the shit out of the balls.
You know what? Hats off to Al Roker for admitting that he shit his pants after he had his surgery for being fat. I'm not sure. What do they call that? Light lap band surgery. Did you ever hear his story about how he shit his pants?
No, I did not, but I'm intrigued.
You know, I can't remember the details of the story, so you should Google it. But, yeah, he actually went on the air and said that he was shitting his pants a lot right after he had his lap band surgery.
Did he make a witty weather-related joke about it? Like, we got a dark storm coming in from the south.
Yeah. He said it's getting dark and stinky over lower Manhattan right now, and I just dropped a deuce in my white pants. I think it was at the White House. I'm pretty sure it was at the White House.
Really?
He said the barometer is getting very low. Seems like the humidity is up.
Uh-oh. Looks like we just had a mudslide.
Oh, no. See, you are a genius. You are a genius after all. Talk about the mudslide. Oh, Christ. I actually like Al Roker, so.
I predict a mudslide. That's funny.
Can you actually predict a mudslide? Because when he had an Egg McMuffin for breakfast this morning, the chances of a mudslide shot up 100%.
Chances of mudslide in the next 10 minutes, 80%. Uh-oh, 90%. Uh-oh, 110%. Look out.
Another man has 100% accuracy in predicting mudslides.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, my God. Did you ever get a chance to Google that story that Al Roker shit his pants at the White House?
No, I made a note to Google it later. I didn't Google it now.
You know, I did forget to watch that show Too Short. I feel bad because I meant to actually watch a few episodes.
Episodes of what?
That show you said
Life's Too Short?
Life is Too Short?
Oh, yeah. It's good. It's good. It takes time.
I need to watch it.
It's really good. It's pretty fucking funny.
Is that on Netflix, or is that? Am I going to have to watch it on YouTube?
I think you can watch it on YouTube or Amazon or Netflix. I'll find it and send you a link. There's just one great scene. Oh, man. So it's all about the little guy who played the Ewok in Star Wars and Willow. And he goes in to meet with...
Is he like
with,
the guy that was the star in Willow?
He was the little guy. The little guy,
man.
Yeah.
Punt that guy in the fucking head, though. I don't know what it was about. Maybe it was the movie that made me angry at that guy. He just came across as like a super huge puss. And I wanted to like kick his head in. First, one, because he was little, and two, because he was such a puss. Plus, I was only like 9 years old. I'm like, I can take that 40-year-old man, no problem.
Dude, there's some so awesome scenes in that TV show. There's one scene, and there's all these guest stars. There's this one scene where he goes in. He's always desperate for work. So he goes in to meet with Ricky Gervais,
that's
the guy who created The Office. And while he's there, Liam Neeson comes in. And Liam Neeson, you know, is a stone-cold, fucking sober, serious guy. And he sits down, and he's like, yeah, I've been thinking about doing comedy. And Ricky Gervais is like, okay, really? I don't think you're suited for it. He said, no, I am suited for it. I'd like to go through some improv routines. And they go through this improv routine with Liam Neeson that is so fucking funny. They're like, they throw out an idea and they're like, okay, you're going to the doctors. Here's the idea. It's supposed to be comedy improv. And he walks and Liam Neeson is like, hello, doctor. Or he's like, hello, doctor. And Ricky Gervais is like, oh, yes, yes. What seems to be the problem? And he says, I've got AIDS, full-blown AIDS. Can you help me? And they stopped it like, we don't think AIDS is that funny. Maybe he shouldn't be doing AIDS. He's like, okay. So they start over, and he's like, I've got cancer and AIDS, and they're both full-blown. They're like, no, wait, let's start this over. You're going into a florist shop, and you're unhappy with your flowers. And so he goes in, and Ricky Gervais is like, tring, you know, the door open. Says, yes, I bought these flowers the other day. I'm unhappy with them. And Liam Neeson's like, well, I wasn't here. And Ricky Gervais says, well, it doesn't matter if you weren't here. I bought these flowers. I'd like a refund. And he says, and Liam Neeson says, I was at the hospital because I have full-blown AIDS.
Oh, my God. That's set up. That's so funny. Liam Neeson is not that clever. Obviously, Ricky Gervais wrote that whole bit.
Well, and that's kind of the obvious joke, is that Liam Neeson is so fucking level-headed and meant to be like a badass that it's just weird watching him do this, and it's really fucking hilarious. It's a great show, man.
I'm going to have to check it out. I really will. Maybe we can critique it on Tuesday's show of next week.
We should. We should.
Speaking of Christmas, have you got any Christmas shopping done yet?
I got it all done. I got 85% done, yeah.
Well, that's a good number. I obviously haven't started. Like I said, I'll probably start about 2 or 3 hours before midnight on Christmas Eve, like the other good dads.
That's the good thing about Amazon, man. You just clack, clack, clack.
Well, you know what? That's the deal. I know that some of the Christmas shopping is getting done because instead of just getting one or two packages a day delivered to my house, we're getting like 3 or 4. So I know that someone's doing some Christmas shopping.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's always nice. That is how it goes here, too. Like, I have no idea that it's happening. I just, based on the packages I've perceived come to the house, I think the wife has it covered.
How is it that UPS and shit can figure the whole delivery shit out, but the post office can't, and they've been in business the longest?
The post office needs to be shut fucking down. Honestly,
it needs to be taken private.
It is private. It's not even a government thing. It's mostly a private industry that has unnecessary government backing. The U.S. Post Office is not a government institution.
I mean, the whole deal is you don't really have to fix the post office when, like you said, it's like a private thing, but the government throws money at it when you're like, hey, we lost $6 billion this year, and the government's like, okay, here's your check. I mean, why even bother to try to fucking spruce it up? You know what I mean? It's like one of those deals where they're like, well, if we do good, then next year they won't allot $6 billion to give us. You know what I mean? They'll be like, oh, we can only give you $5 billion this year because you're doing better.
Right. Well, I mean, UPS and Amazon and FedEx, they're all tinkering with, like, using drones to fucking bring shit to your fucking doorstep.
There is no way, dude. That I don't
and the post
want
office,
that. Do you want that? Does anybody really fucking want that?
I don't think I want that. I don't want swarms of drones. But the point is that they're innovating and trying to make things better and faster. And the post office is still like, buy a 35-cent stamp.
You know what? Forget about fucking drones. Take the money you're thinking about spending on drones to have shit. I mean, drones would be fucking constantly the fucking earth. It would be like a whole other atmosphere of just fucking drones hovering around.
You're right.
Would it not?
You're right. It'd be a haze of fucking drones constantly.
And the sound. I mean, the drones make a lot of fucking noise. I mean,
and
just
it's
something,
not just,
a blade cutting air makes noise. You know what I mean? I don't think you can get rid of that.
Oh, no, I had a drone for about 3 days since I crashed it.
Right.
But it's not just the delivery companies, you know, the shipping people. Even, like, the Domino's Pizza is testing delivering pizza by drone.
Hey, if you guys want to hear more about what's going on with this drone thing, follow us into the VIP part of the show where we're going to speak more about drones and probably other cool and exciting stuff that you don't want to miss. You know what I'm saying, Rufus? Am I right?
Yeah. Can we actually play the VIP music? We'll be
yes,
sure
that's
to
why
do
I'm getting
that
started.
This time.
I'm getting started a minute and a half early on the introduction to the VIP part of the show so we can play the music for a smooth transition into the VIP part.
Sweet. You're such a pro.
So, like I was saying about, okay, forget focusing the money on the drones, right? Focus the money on making it so something can, like, disappear in one spot and reappear in another spot.
Oh, you mean like teleportation?
Yeah, right. I mean, wouldn't you just focus your money on that? There's no way we can have a bunch of drones going over our fucking heads.
Honestly,
and
I
if you
don't
want to hear,
really...
Wait a minute. Hold that thought, Rufus. I'm going to have to ask you to hold that thought, all right? I want
it
you to
helps,
finish that
yes.
thought in the VIP. So we'll catch you folks in the VIP part of the show. Stay tuned to hear what Rufus has to say about drones in America. For those of you who are just joining the show, Rufus was just eloquating on his idea of what would happen if we let drones loose all over the skies of America to deliver every package possible, including groceries and pizzas, right? I mean, I'm assuming everybody's going to want everything by drone. Or we should take all that money that's being put towards developing this idea of drones, which I think is a ridiculous idea because I don't want a bunch of drones drowning out everything in my neighborhood all day, every day long, and put the money towards teleportation. 30 seconds. 30 seconds, Rufus.
30 seconds? Okay. I think the idea for drones is that it's not going to be like you order something from Tucson, Arizona, and a drone brings it to your house five states away. It's a local thing. Like if there's an Amazon shipping deal, or if somebody's selling something on Amazon that's local to you, that drone can bring you that thing. But still, there's going to be millions of fucking drones in the air, and I don't think that's scalable in a way that makes any fucking sense. I mean, that's going to block – you talk about global warming fucking shit up. Well, how about a billion fucking drones blocking out the sunlight with millions of people are fucking ordering shit?
Imagine the crashes. Drones would be crashing into each other and falling out of the sky constantly. Not to mention, how big of a drone are you talking? I mean, I don't want a drone that could fall out of the sky and fucking crush me. I mean, people could get killed by a malfunctioning drone. I don't even care if it was like a 1 pound.
Right. Think about the liability. What if you ordered a fucking bowling ball and you're having it drone to your house and that thing malfunctions and drops it on a fucking kid's head in an elementary school? Okay. What happens then?
Imagine how many, it'd start a whole new profession of people probably called drone poachers. Who would just, capture drones full of shit and kill the shit off of them.
That could be the best thing to happen to eBay, because people poach the drones and put all that shit up on eBay.
That's true. They would be. But then it wouldn't make any sense, because then when you try to have something delivered that you bought on eBay, someone else would poach it.
That it's like the Wild West in the sky. We're just making a...
Right, it is. There's no way. Because I'll tell you this. Every day in my neighborhood, and I don't even live in a busy neighborhood, it's actually got a cul-de-sac that dead ends back in my neighborhood, and still there's five or six fucking delivery trucks out here every day, including the mail truck. So, honestly, it would be a fucking nonstop hail of fucking drones flying all over the place.
It would have to be. I mean, if you consider that one UPS truck can carry, I don't know, I'm guessing 150 packages. Right. That's one truck with 100 packages in it. Can you imagine 100 fucking drones? And then that magnified by every UPS truck that would otherwise be transporting it?
This is what's so crazy. It to me and you, it's so fucking obvious that this can't work. And those guys are way fucking smart. I mean, I'm not going to say they're as smart as us, these people that are doing shit at Google or whatever, but I consider them kind of smart people. They've got to know that this is not fucking realistic to happen. There's no way around it other than teleportation.
Honestly, I think in 20 years, it'll be one of those things that we look back on. There'll be a VH1 special. Remember the 2015s. It'll be like, remember this stupid fucking idea that everybody had? Oh, that's so funny.
Fly drones around. It'd be thing that you put around your ankle and skipped over when you were in, fourth grade. that lemon on a hoop, and it was big craze. And now they look back and God, look how fucking stupid we were.
It's just like any time a new technology comes out, it's like people just immediately take it to the highest fucking possible level. You know, conceptually, they're like, oh, my God, we're going to have drones everywhere delivering shit. They don't stop to think that, obviously that won't fucking work. And so in retrospect, I think 20 years from now, it'll be like, what idiots thought that would actually work.
What sucks is, dude, if they can – it might be so fucked up, Rufus, that somehow they pay off the government and then there is going to be a fucking fleet of drones, right? And they're just like, you just have to fucking deal with it. The government decided that drones are acceptable. Now there's a whole fucking fleet of drones blocking out the sun. Just deal with it.
Fuck. I don't want that, dude.
Part of life.
I don't want that. It shouldn't be.
No, but a lot of things that the government does are fucking stupid, no doubt.
And corporations, true.
Well, I mean, you know what? If you think you can divide up the corporations and the government, you're wrong. Because it's the corporations.
No.
that run the fucking government. I mean, it's lobbying 101. If you don't think the
Absolutely.
Corporations rub the fucking government, you're a fucking idiot. And it's, you know,
no, yeah.
it's just...
The line between government and corporation is so diluted and blurry, it's really scary. The government is a corporation, and it's beholden to corporations.
Right.
And that's
I mean,
really
like
fucking freaky to me.
20 corporations that control the government.
Right.
I mean, and that's really the drug companies, the big tobacco company, you know, I mean, they literally control the fucking government. Telecom.
I saw
what do they call those things? An infographic on it, so I know what I'm talking about, people.
Someone
bothered to make an infographic, so it's legit.
You know, I saw a funny picture today that is really kind of true. It was a comic strip looking picture, and it was these two old guys kind of opening up a Christmas present and chuckling at each other. And the caption was,
"Uh-oh, you cut out."
Every election is paid for by, you know, those guys or some other big corporation.
You were cutting out there, Rufus. So I didn't get to hear what it said, unfortunately.
So it was two old guys kind of chuckling at, they were both opening Christmas presents, and they were chuckling at them. And the caption was, "It was pretty embarrassing when the Koch brothers bought themselves the same election."
Oh, my God. That's a good one. That is a good one. You know what? That's why I'm done. I'm not done because I really don't have a choice, because our vote means nothing, because the Electoral College decides who's going to be the fucking president. You know, you don't really.
Right.
I remember how fucking upset I was when I realized that my vote didn't mean shit. You know what I mean? That's always a fucking sobering moment, I think, in a young person's life, where you're like, oh, I get to vote. I'm 18. Woo! I'm going to go vote. And then, like, a couple months later, you're like, my vote doesn't even fucking mean anything. I mean, they tried to teach it me in high school. I wish I'd have been paying more attention, you know, so I wasn't so shattered when I found out that I don't really get to vote. I just get to waste gas.
Have you ever – and take a day off work. I mean, if voting is that important, let's make it a fucking holiday. You get an unpaid day off work.
You might get to leave 10 minutes early.
Right. Well, it depends on how busy a city you live in. Sometimes you get to wait in line for a long fucking time to vote.
Yeah, that's another good way to get rid of people that you don't really want voting. And say the voting – I saw this whole special on voting machines. Have you seen this? Like, your voting machines that they use now are fucking 40 years old, right? They're old fucking computers, and they're outdated. And instead of buying new machines that are efficient, they purposely have these old machines. One, that to get pieces for these machines, because they're so old, the pieces are, like, impossible to get, right? And if you do get one, they're, like, $1,500 for, like, something by our standards today would be rudimentary. You know, and not cost efficient at all, but, you know, instead of updating them all, we like them, the government likes to keep them broken down. So when you go to poll at a place and the machine's broken down, you just have to fucking deal with it. You know what I mean? They don't ever, there's never a backup voting day or, you know, it just doesn't happen. You're like, well, if you didn't get to vote because the machine was broken, tough fucking cookies.
Do you ever watch the show Adam Ruins Everything? Have you seen this show?
I have not.
It's on the surface extremely fucking annoying and obnoxious. The guy, the host, Adam, is just a big-ass fucking douchebag. But if you can get past that, the show is super interesting. And
he the guy from the food show?
No. But they take a major, like, socially accepted thing like education or voting, and they show you how it's fucking bullshit. And no matter what you think about it, it's totally fucking wrong. And it's a really good show if you can get past the fact that the host is a total fucking tool bag. And he did one, or they did one, he's just a front man for it, about voting. And it's insane, all the shit in that show that basically shows that voting does not fucking matter at all. It's all predetermined. And it has been that way always. Even like back in the day when they decided in 1776, they're like, you know, we can't let farmers fucking vote. We're gonna let the rich aristocrats fucking vote. Right. You know, we'll have town hall meetings where the farmers can voice their opinions, but ultimately, you know, it's only the aristocrats who really, you know, need the right to vote.
And you know what? So I would be fine with that if the aristocrats fucking had any goddamn common sense. And I'd be fine with that if the politicians had any fucking common sense. But it's like the more elite that you get on that kind of shit, it's like the stupider you fucking get. You know, you just get so out of touch, you're like, yeah,
right.
You know, forget about the other 300 million people. There's 250 people in America that do all the fucking work.
Exactly. Exactly. You're right. You're absolutely right. And that's what that show sort of showed, was like the country is really run and decided upon by a very select few. And you may cast your vote, but it doesn't fucking matter. They ended on a positive note, saying that some things do matter. You should vote because it does send a message in some instances if there's a big upswelling. But ultimately,
you know what?
I got the ultimate lesson.
Because it sounds exactly like me at the fucking dinner table in my house. Yes, I have an opinion. Yes, am I allowed to voice that opinion? Does that opinion mean anything? No, it does not. It does not at the end of the day. It means nothing.
No.
Other than I'm wrong.
Yeah, I go into every conversation with my wife just on the assumption that I'm not wrong,
defensive.
But I may as well be. I may as well be wrong. Because ultimately,
you are.
If my idea is
on
the
some
best,
level. In the wiring in her
back
brain,
down
you were wrong.
At some point. Yeah.
Yeah, my wife's brain is like a computer that goes beep, 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 wrong. She like assesses my opinion, and then it is wrong. It is immediately wronged.
It goes in the wrong pile.
Dude, I could compile a 40-minute, I could filibuster with a never-ending PowerPoint presentation about how I'm right about something, but at the end, I'll be wrong.
Yes, you will. And now, you know what? Occasionally I am right, and that's usually when she wants me to call somewhere and, like, take care of something, like, say, insurance or licensures of certain kinds.
Yeah.
Then I'm allowed to be right because it involves
some
kind of work at the end of the day. You're like, yeah, you know
exactly.
What? You probably are right about that. Why don't you take care of that? You're allowed to take That's kind of how the government treats us now. It's like, hey, there's radiation leaking over there, and you know, if you say something, they're like, great, why don't you go ahead and clean that up then?
Yep, exactly. That's so right. That's awesome. Oh, so
dude,
you're a charitable organization? You go fix it. Not us.
This
we're,
is
we're the government.
For you. My family owns land in Indiana, right? And it's industrial land. But there's never been anything built on it. But it's next to some railroad tracks, right? Because way back when my grandpa was investing in real estate, he's like, always buy land near airports and, like, major highways and railroad tracks, you know, which makes sense. So somehow the railroad was washing their rail cars here for, like, 50 years using some kind of industrial solvent and dumping it into the like, a well, right? It goes up and down, like, this land, and eventually the well rotted or whatever, and it got into the groundwater, okay?
Right.
And it, like, polluted a bunch of land, okay? So, of course, the government has all these brownfield initiatives and whatnot, and, you know, these super fun sites where they're going to clean shit up. So the government steps in, even though it should be the responsibility of the rail people to clean it up, but, you know, the government's like, no, you're a big business, so you get to – We got your back on this. We're going to spend taxpayer money to clean up your fucking mess.
Right.
And so they find all this out in 1986, and they buy all these scrubbers and shit and all this stuff that they know is not going to make a fucking difference cleaning this stuff up. But they put it up, right? They spend like $10 million putting it up to under the guise that it's fixing things. And, of course, it's going to take time to make things better, right? So don't expect any overnight miracles, blah, 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 this or that. So, like, a couple weeks ago, you know, there's something in the paper, and I go to this meeting, right, of this, like, of this super fun site because we own a bunch of property there. And they're at this site. I think I told the story on the show once before, where the people from the EPA are like sticking up for the fucking what they call a responsible party, which is the railroad, and saying, you know, it's not really their fault, but the contamination is getting worse. Okay,
right.
And so I'm like the only person talking. I'm like, so how is that possible that this you've been cleaning it up for 30 years and it's getting worse? Right, but the deal is they don't expect anybody to talk. So they, of course, they had no answer for me. You know what I mean?
Of course.
And I'm just like, what the fuck? You know what I mean? You're saying we're spending taxpayer money. Our property is basically worthless until you get this shit fucking cleaned up. And you're making us pay taxes on it so you can clean up the mess for fucking them. And we can't sell our fucking property because they ruined it.
That's
you know, and I'm just like,
up.
It's disenfranchised. You know, that. That's your American dream right there. In a nutshell, you don't get it. You know what I mean? You don't get it. Some big corporation gets it instead.
Dude, oh, God. We get a letter from the IRS today. The IRS sent us a letter, and they said, we're changing your status from married to single.
What?
This is true. We get a letter
from
the IRS.
Filing? On your phone.
Yeah, so we're changing. Yeah, so we're changing your status from married to single. We've already sent a letter to your employer, and we're like, "What the fuck are you talking about? We're obviously married." So my wife calls them up. I emailed the HR person at work, and I said, "Hey, expect a letter about this. It's bullshit, but we're gonna get it worked out." And she's like, "Oh no, yeah, I already got it." And they said that I don't have to worry about it until February of next year. But my wife had to be on hold for like 2 hours and deal with the IRS to find out why they deemed it necessary to change my status from married to single. And it was some stupid fucking reason that made no goddamn sense. But,
like
you know,
what?
They just did it. Yeah. They just took it upon themselves.
You didn't even know what
to file
was?
Me. No.
Somehow they were going to get more money from you, obviously.
Obviously, yeah, yeah. And, you know, how many people don't contest it? But, of course, you know,
oh,
my
yeah.
wife, God bless her, she's like, no,
the
fuck
IRS,
this bullshit.
Watch out. Watch out for the IRS. I mean, it's the scariest place on earth.
I mean, how overbearing is it that the IRS can just be like, oh, yeah, you're married. You've been married 15 years, but we're going to go ahead and change your status to single so we can get more money out of you.
There's something
that's
in it for
ridiculous.
Us. Because we're the government, and you can't tell us no. Because that's just how it is, and we know it. And
right.
We have bills to pay. I mean, I wonder if you went to the IRS and said, you know what, I'm not paying my taxes because I don't really fucking believe with what you do with the money. You know what I mean? I don't believe in war in fucking foreign countries. I don't believe in not building roads with the money. You know what, if I'm going to give you the money,
right.
I should be able to say how the fuck you're going to spend it. You know, by voting, supposedly we're supposed to be able to. But we all know that's a bunch of fucking horse shit.
I think that's extremely fucking valid. You're absolutely right. And there should be a way where you can be like, okay, you take my taxes, but I get to determine where it goes, you know, via check boxes. And then I want
exactly.
every fucking six months a report of where my money's going and the return on investment for that money. That makes my life better.
That's what they ask of you. You know what I mean? They want to know where all your money is going.
Exactly. And if you want to spend your money on fighting bullshit wars overseas, that's cool. You know, that you can choose
right.
to do that.
You have money to go for that.
Right.
You know what? I don't think that is too much to ask. We should run that idea by Bernie Sanders. What was our genius political idea last week? We had a great political idea. Oh, it was bringing the troops home to fucking guard the mosques.
Right.
Not
and,
just
and
the mosques,
schools.
But the churches and whatnot. And
right.
schools.
It was just instead of arming teachers, stop fucking waging wars in foreign lands and just bring the
right.
army back to protect us.
Yeah, that's
simple.
I mean, that's kind of a no-brainer. You know, and that whole – the tax thing is – I mean, our country was kind of founded on taxation without representation, right? And that's what we're experiencing every fucking day in politics. There is not a guy out there that's in fucking politics that goes, I know how it is to be Rufus, or I know how it is to be Zigzag, or I know how it is to be fucking Joe Schmo. Because as soon as you get elected into fucking some kind of office, you've joined this old boys club that's like, no, no, that's not how we do things here.
Right. You know what? You know what's funny is we sound like, I don't want to paint us in a bad light, because this party was overtaken by nefarious forces. This is what the original Tea Party group was saying. They were just all about, don't take our fucking money and spend it on shit we don't want. But then they got overtaken by guys like Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh and shit. But that was pretty much it.
They use it for their own thing. Well, here's something disturbing, Rufus. You know that they're putting too many people in prison when California in the last 10 years has built 18 prisons and one new college in like the last 20 years or something. So 18 prisons, one new college. That says to me we're not spending enough money on education. I don't know about you, but I'm saying from the ground up, I mean from first grade or kindergarten on through the whole fucking educational process.
Well, it gets creepier than that because the prisons are privately owned, but in cahoots with the government, right?
Right. Totally disgusting. Another, it's like the railroad.
Exactly. So what benefits the government more, educating children or getting more children to grow up and end up in prison?
Right. And that way you know exactly where they are. You go to prison for a felony, you automatically lose your right to vote for life, right? You don't get to vote for life if you're convicted of a fucking felony.
That was one thing that was highlighted in that Adam Ruins Everything deal, is that, like, they even had a that is one good thing about the show, is they have real people on it, and they had a real felon. And he's like, look, I did 15 years for robbery or whatever. I served my time, but I can't vote, you know, and I'm, like, 38, and I've got the rest of my life to live, but I can't vote just because I robbed someplace. But I've served my time, you know, I'm on a clean slate, supposedly.
I paid my due, so to speak.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's just another, okay, so there goes 3 million people that might fucking vote, right? Okay, they're done with, or, okay, that's just the number of people in prison. So you take that of all the number of people that got out of prison or have been convicted of felony, never did any fucking jail time, you're probably talking 30 or 40 million people that are taken out of the fucking voting pool at the end of the day.
Right. You know what?
I mean, okay, I don't vote. Guess what? I don't pay taxes either. That's my opinion.
Man, I agree with that. That's awesome. You know what else is crazy? Is Washington, D.C., population is 750,000. People in Washington, D.C. can't vote. Residents of Washington, D.C.
So
can't
vote. There's another million people.
American territories. Puerto Rico, American citizens can't vote.
What is the thinking behind the Washington, D.C. people not being able allowed to vote?
Because Washington, D.C. is not a state. It's more just like sort of an incorporated territory. But almost a million fucking people live there, but they can't vote.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. And no one in Washington, D.C. is, hey, we deserve our fucking right to vote? Are you just like, well, I moved to Washington, D.C., I love it so much, I just won't vote.
Right. That's insane.
Jesus, this country, there will be no America in, what do you think, 150 years? Well, America passes. I mean, how long did the Roman Empire last? 1,000 years?
I don't.
Years?
I mean, the outlook is bleak, not just for America, but pretty much civilization in general. I mean, it's pretty fucking bleak.
Earth has gone to yellow.
Yeah.
DEFCON yellow. Or I guess DEFCON's not colors, are they? DEFCON's are numbers.
Are they? I don't know.
I don't know either. We'll have to save that for the next show. Tune in next week to find out what color DEFCON Earth is fucked is. I mean, the more I read about what we're doing to the Earth and how can the Koch brothers say there's nothing wrong with fucking the climate and shit, and how the Republicans can actually, with a straight face, agree that there's nothing wrong and that global warming is a farce, sickens me. It truly, like I said before, when we were talking about the Earth is just full of the, we are the fleas of the Earth, and I cannot blame the Earth for wanting to fucking rid itself of us, not one bit.
Right.
But not before it puts garbage all over it that lasts a million fucking years.
You know what's crazy and super, super fucking depressing is that even though we're here right now at this moment saying it's all fucked, it's all jacked up and crazy, the world's fucking screwed, everyone's been saying that for generations, and yet no generation has just fucking
changed it,
fixed it.
Yeah.
And
I think I don't want to beat the Bernie Sanders drum, but it's crazy that the people think he's crazy. You know why? Because he's a politician that wants to get people involved in politics. Real politicians,
right,
like, don't get the people involved. Tell them what, you know, tell them lies and tell them what's good for them. You don't need them to fucking get involved. Everything's fine.
And that's completely the opposite of how things should be.
Right.
And how things, I mean,
right,
really how things are written on paper in the Constitution. It should be.
Did you ever
those
watch that thing on that, the Natural Living Man? That thing that I told you about?
Oh, goddamn, it didn't. Let me write it down again.
But, I mean, yeah, he's kind of a whack job or whatever, but really, he makes sense in the fact that, you know what, you can't do anything because they make it fucking impossible by tying you down with procedures, you know what I mean, and fines and stuff that make no fucking sense other than to keep you from accomplishing anything.
Yes.
I mean,
yeah,
really, the rules of court and all that stuff is all a bunch of fucking English bullshit that came over, like, on the fucking Mayflower, right, rules of court that are incorporated by the upper class of England fucking 1,000 years ago, and we're still fucking going by them here, you know, and we're our own nation. But yet we still adhere to those rules of court.
I mean,
none of it makes
any
fucking sense.
I think, honestly, I think humanity as a whole, in general, needs a serious fucking reboot. And I don't want to put it on any faction of humanity to destroy everything. But I think what we need is like a meteorite to fucking hit the Earth, destroy everything we fucking know, and bring us back down to our just fucking, we're humans trying to fucking survive, and all we have is each other. And start over.
What do you think would happen? We'd see aliens come to the Earth, and we have to fight them off. Do you think that the Earth could band together and fucking do it, or could we not? I would say not. I would say we can't put aside our differences.
We couldn't put aside our differences. We couldn't put aside our perceptions of what was coming at us. I think a lot of, I mean, obviously the 2.9 billion Muslims and, you know, 6.8 billion Christians or whatever would not perceive it as like an actual biological entity coming at us, but like, you know, demons or fallen angels. I mean, they would perceive it in some other weird way. Some other faction would perceive it in some other strange way.
I'm saying they're already here. They've landed, so we know that they're really here. Right? You think you could stand next to somebody and say, hey, we're going to put aside our differences and fight this alien? Or do you think that Earth is, and humanity has just gotten so far that they're like, you know what? I would rather lose it all and be rid of you. I mean, I think that's how the Islamic extremists are right now. You know what I mean? They're like, we just rather give it up all and make sure you're dead, even at the expense of everything, because our hatred for you runs that deep.
I don't know. I mean, I think it would depend on the motives of the alien being, and we may never have any insight into that. I mean, if they just come down guns blazing, you know, you don't have time to think or negotiate. I don't know, but I think if we have time to think about it, but not deal with a threat, then we're so fucking stupid. We'll get caught up in our own interpretation. Well, I think they want this. Well, no, I think they want that. Well, my book says this. My book says that. Science says this.
We knew they were coming. We've been warning you.
I mean, we'll get so knotted up in our own fucking interpretations of shit that, you know, the aliens or whatever will just obliterate us. And it's, I don't know.
I didn't mean to get so depressing on the end of the show here. But, you know, me and Rufus like to get a little deep on the Hypersloth Happy Hour. It's not all fun and games on the Hypersloth Happy Hour. It's there's truth.
Actually,
but on a
light
note, when we get off, when we're done with the show, I'm going to make myself a cheesesteak.
Dude, I made a kick-ass fucking bacon double cheeseburger today from scratch. And goddamn, it's fucking great. Oh, man.
It's always awesome to do that, but then you always forget how much fucking work it is. With the handling
of
the raw meat and whatnot.
It was a lot of work, but I had a bunch of bacon that I needed to cook because it was going to go bad if I didn't. So I cooked all the bacon.
Right.
I kept two slices aside. I packed up the rest. I made a big burger patty, salt, nothing but salt and pepper, just salt and pepper.
Right, that's all you need on a burger.
That's true. And I fried it up like on the same griddle that I used for the bacon. So
for
the bacon fat on there. And so when it got done, I broke the bacon up and put it on there, and I melted two slices of American cheese over the top.
Dude.
Then I took
the
bun.
You know what you should name that? I want you to name that burger the Infidel. I call that the Infidel burger.
It is. But then I took the bun, and I grilled the bun in the bacon fat. I like toasted the bun in the bacon fat and then put mayonnaise on it. Oh my God, dude.
As a cardiologist, I'm going to have to say you might want to go jog 50 miles and take a Korag or something tonight.
No, I'll die happy and full.
You'll die. I'll die with a piece of bacon in each nostril. Damn it.
That's right.
I know. You know what? You know that's when you know something's wrong with the religion, when they don't like bacon. It's just you can't be a straight-up religion. It's not allowing to. You're a self-abuser if you don't allow yourself to enjoy a slice of bacon periodically. Now, I'm saying all things in moderation except for moderation.
That's right. No, I don't do moderation in moderation. I do everything else in moderation except
right.
for moderation.
Yeah, you've never been good. You've never been strong at your moderation. I will tell you that.
No.
If you just something you can't learn in school is moderation.
Actually, I excel so much in moderation that I just end up doing everything all the time because I'm constantly moderating.
I've noticed that about you. You're kind of a moderator's moderator.
Yes, I'm a moderator's moderator.
You always have been. Well, 9:30 is the witching hour, Rufus, so I'm going to give it a Hypersloth howl. Oh, that's so unheartfelt these days. Give it. You got to get it from the fucking gut. Give us one from the gut.
The reason is because my kid is, like, in bedtime now. I don't want to wake him up.
Yeah, well, I told you, I'm willing to put I'm putting my whole marriage on the rocks for that Hypersloth howl. I want you to know that because I will get in trouble if I woke up my daughter with that howl. But you know what? I don't care. It's Hypersloth shit. Deal with it.
She's just good.
All right, folks. Well, thanks for listening to the Hypersloth Happy Hours with Zigzag and Rufus. We'll catch you next Tuesday when I'm sure we got more incredibly enlightening stuff to say. And I wanted to ask you something, Rufus. It was on an unrelated note. I can't remember what it is now. I'll have to email you or do the usual 2 hours worth of Skype Instagramming or instant messaging that we do after the show, talking about how brilliant we were.
We should catalog that because that is always awesome.
So thanks for listening, listeners. I'm going to play a song. Rufus, why don't you, Little Dealer's Choice tonight, why don't you pick out a song to play to end tonight's show? I played them all last week.
Let me see. I'm looking here.
We had 16 listeners on last week's show.
I did see that. I wonder who the fuck they are.
I don't know. Probably the writers of every fucking popular comedy team or show in America right now, I would imagine.
That's true. All right, God damn it! I'm trying to find. Here we go. Oh, let's just do a beer's food. Is that cool?
Do it. Let it rock. Until next week, folks. Have a good one. Hyper Sloth Smile.
Catch you Tuesday.
Thanks for listening to Hyper Sloth Happy Hour with Zig Zag and Rufus.